WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Scottish writer Sheena McKay has published 8 novels and 1 short story collection. Though her work has been acclaimed in Britain, she's not well known here. But book critic Maureen Carrigan predicts that McKay's new novel, The Orchard on Fire, may change that. It's just been shortlisted for England's prestigious Booker Prize.
It occurred to me the other day as I was practicing my stress-reducing deep breathing exercises that reading certain authors also produces a naturally soothing effect. Barbara Pym, James Herriot, Angela Thurkel, I just have to think of their English villages populated by vicars and scatterbrained housewives eternally shopping for a nice joint of beef, and I feel, relaxed. Their novels, however, have worn somewhat threadbare over years of rereading, so I'm always on the lookout for new additions to their cozy ranks. Sheena McKay's new book seemed just the ticket. Set in the fictional English village of Stonebridge in 1953, it focuses on the intense friendship of 2 8-year-old girls, quaintly named April and Ruby. Images of jumble sales and parish fates danced through my head, and I was deeply breathing in imaginary lavender-scented air until something rather unpleasant wafted through. For while McKay conjures up a world every bit as charming as a Ralph Lauren ad, she also acknowledges the common nastiness as well as the graver sins that infest even the most innocent-looking hamlets. Like Agatha Christie, whose manor house libraries always contained a body, McKay's nostalgic view of merry old England is speckled with mildew, which makes it less picturesque, but ultimately more realistic. We first meet April in the present as a divorced, lonely, middle-aged woman who ruefully confesses that Dustbin Day is possibly more of an event for me than it might be for some. On a whim, April decides to revisit Stonebridge, the village she left decades ago. Faster than you can say steak and kidney pie, the novel then transports us back to the 1950s and to the Copper Kettle Tea Room, the spectacularly unsuccessful establishment April's parents run in Stonebridge. April's best friend Ruby is the daughter of the local pub owners, and together the two girls form a secret society whose headquarters is an abandoned railroad boxcar set in the midst of an idyllic orchard. Soon it becomes clear why the two girls have a stronger-than-usual desire to create a hideaway. Ruby sports unexplained bruises and a black eye, courtesy of her parents. For April, evil appears in the form of Mr. Greenidge, one of the Copper Kettle's few regular customers. A melancholy gentleman married to an invalid, Greenidge plays on April's pity and good manners to regularly lure her into his house, where he professes his love while feeling her up. McKay here displays a keen awareness of the rhythms of a child's misery. April's abuse in the sweaty hands of Mr. Greenidge doesn't overwhelm her daily life. It's only, say, when she spots him strolling down High Street that her heart sinks. McKay also deftly manages to transplant the topical issue of child abuse into the halcyon world of the 1950s without damaging the atmospheric integrity of her novel. Silence reigns, and so April and Ruby never confide their shame, even to each other. The adults are just as reticent when it comes to anything dirty. Appropriately, in the tumultuous climax of this tongue-tied story, when accusations are made, they're the wrong ones, the ones people feel more comfortable uttering. Sheena McKay's new book is marred, but only slightly, by a hokey ending in which the adult April visits the village cemetery and discovers a surprise grave. Oh, for those conscientious manuscript editors of yore who would have slashed that last scene out. I'm afraid they've disappeared along with the likes of Gentlewomen and Cream Teas. But as McKay evocatively reminds us, there are some aspects of times past we needn't mourn.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University.